This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Monday, everybody. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. Excited for another week, another blessed week.
Big week.
You got to turn your mic
big
on.
Week, there big you go. Week, big week.
Yeah, we're into week 10. We're a few days away from what was a very frustrating Halloween matchup for your Texans. But you've gotten a few days away from it. I'm interested. Are we still feeling it? Are we able to move past that? Where are we? Let us know. Get involved with the program by hitting us up on the YouTube and the Twitch. Those things are available to you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch, and of course the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. The number for that fan line, 713-572-4610. And of course, in addition to all those things, right, the place where a lot of Texans' minds are is that it's trade deadline Eve. So happy trade deadline Eve.
Happy trade deadline
Eve. Trade deadline is tomorrow in the afternoon. I believe it's 4 p.m. I'll double check on that to make sure that I'm saying the right things here. Mm-hmm.
Might be 3 p.m. Central.
Okay. 3 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very 4 p.m. Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure. I'll double check here in one moment. But ultimately, the big question that we have to ask ourselves is, are the Texans actually going to do anything? Because this is a huge turning point, or could be at least a huge turning point for your Texans. I don't know that anybody felt I think everybody honestly has felt the worst about this team than when they saw that performance mm-hmm. on Halloween at MetLife Stadium. And so I mean, the worst that you felt could be still relatively positive. It could be like all the way in the dumps, but ultimately I think that this has been a low point in the season thus far. And so the trade deadline offers you an opportunity to get a little bit of positivity, address some things that desperately need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let me ask you out and out. Are the Texans going to do anything?
Well, look, to answer your first question about are we over Halloween yet? The answer is no. But I think in a weird way, that's kind of a good thing, because with the trade deadline tomorrow, trade deadlines passed, it was just kind of like, well, maybe the Texans can do this to get a little better, maybe that. But now the standard is so high that I feel like the Texans have to do it. Like it's almost a non-negotiable on the offensive line. You have to come up with something. Now, to be fair, the Texans did add a center/guard today to the practice squad. That's not what we're talking about, right?
Well, that is Jerome Carvin mm-hmm. added to the practice squad. And I think there's some people that are wondering, could that be a sign of a possible lack of movement in that way at the trade deadline for the Texans?
No, I mean, it could be, but I feel like it should not be. This is the first time in a long time where the Texans enter the trade deadline, and it's not like, well, maybe this, maybe that. It's like, you have to. You have to for no other reason than your quarterback. Maybe the standards are not fair, because clearly there are other teams in the AFC and the NFL that are just flat better than the Texans, and maybe you can't, you ultimately can't get there, but you better try with this quarterback. And he's been sacked the second most of any starting quarterback, any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's been sacked 33 times. It's a non-negotiable for me, Reggie. You have to bolster the offensive line with the trade deadline approaching.
Yeah, you really need to. You know, I still always wonder about just the seeming lack of movement at the trade deadline when it comes to offensive linemen. It just seems like it does not happen frequently. But you saw Cam Robinson get traded this year, and you saw him play yesterday.
Yeah, right away.
And that worked out pretty well. Now, of course, he's a high-level player, right, and at tackle and those types of things. But I have a lot of hope. And honestly, I think hope is the best word I could use here because I'm not certain that they'll make a move because it is tough to get a team to give you an offensive lineman unless they're, like, really tanking it out. And even then, right, if there's a lineman that's good, there's not enough of them in this league. It's one of those places that – and one of those positions in the league that has a positional scarcity.
It's not easy, but it's easier. And the reason I say that is this is why the trade deadline was pushed back. For teams that are clearly out of it, that are clearly transitioning, to maybe be more inclined to make that deal. Hell, the Jacksonville Jaguars, there's reports that Brandon Scherff, five-time Pro Bowler, is going to be available. Oh, but he's in the division. I don't care about that. I don't care about that at all. I mean, the Jags are done. And the fact that the trade deadline is later makes it easier for you in division or any trade that you might have.
I do wonder, though, the idea of scarcity, all those types of things, and maybe like other things like being in division, being a prohibitive kind of barrier to getting a deal done. How far are you willing to go? Because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think where you are is guard by any means necessary,
yes,
or offensive line help by any means necessary. Obviously, I'm not trying to box in the creativity that could exist with a move by the Texans, but offensive line help by any means necessary. What are any means? Like, are you willing to give a really early round draft pick, like early round draft capital? How much are you willing to mortgage the future of the franchise to make sure that this offensive line looks good this year and is capable of giving you an opportunity to contend?
Well, I don't think they're going to do anything dumb, and nor would I encourage it. Anything above the fourth round, to me, is almost a non-starter.
So keep it to
fourth, fifth, sixth, depending on the caliber of player. Because keep in mind, as I mentioned, like some of these teams that are completely out of it, they need anything. They need draft capital in any way possible. Like they're a lot of rebuilding teams that will take whatever you can give them, but you can't be stupid with it. You say mortgage the future. I would draw the line at the fourth round. You know, that's about as high as I would get for a really big time player. But when you talk about mortgaging the future, CJ Stroud is the future.
Correct.
And he is the present.
Correct.
So you can't mortgage that either.
Sure.
You know, you can't mortgage CJ Stroud's health and confidence, et cetera, for the sake of, well, we don't want to give up anything more than, let's say, a sixth round pick. Well, no, then you're mortgaging CJ Stroud's future.
Correct.
And so you have to balance that.
And we've seen the real fear of that. You've detailed it on this very program. Some of the instances of him getting up a little slow, those types of things, right? Like it highlights just how much and how crucial and critical it is that you keep that man upright and then you keep him from, like, even with the movement and the capabilities of negotiating a pocket. Those give you more opportunities at stepping on an ankle or something like that happening and then ultimately losing your quarterback for a period of time. That is just indefensible. So, like, I think the reason why I asked that and you got to the right place is, like, there's different ways of viewing the future, and the future exists right there as CJ Stroud.
Is the future a third-round pick that's maybe going to be a guard that you develop? Is it going to be maybe a wide receiver? I'm just spitballing here. I know they have some young wide receivers. Or is the future CJ Stroud? That's not even a contest. I mean, that's not even close. So when you talk about mortgage in the future, that's the future I'm worried about. And then here's the other part of it that I think, like, I feel like you have to make a deal here. Because if you don't, forget the messaging that they're going to give us and you and me and Figgy and fans and all that. What messaging do you have in that locker room? They know. They know in that locker room that, you know, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers are in the mix for a wide receiver. They're at the top of their division. I mean, just go down the list of teams that are contenders. They're all making moves, and if you don't, that's the messaging in the locker room is such that, wow, so these are the guys we're going to run with here that have given up the second most sacks ever. I mean, second most sacks in the season to CJ Stroud. You can't do that.
Yeah, and especially when it feels like the messaging has also been, we need to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
And the need to get this right for 9 weeks has not, you know, demonstrated itself on the field. And so what are you willing to do? To what lengths are you willing to go to protect your quarterback, to actually get this done? And also, like, and again, mortgaging your future is a very heavy term. So I recognize that I put that on the table and that is that's kind of something that we're looking at here. But I think trading future assets, I think you have to be a little concerned, or you have to like kind of consider that even more so. And I hate the idea of being pot committed, but you're kind of pot committed. Like, you have a lot of investment in this season here.
Yes.
You've done a lot of short-term deals that obviously you're going to need to negotiate and figure out going forward. But you put a lot on the table to be a certain level of good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that anybody involved is ready to let those hopes go, because it's not like you can't get there, but the big barrier to that is your offensive line has to play a lot better. And it feels like a big step in making that happen is bringing outside help.
All right, you have to ask yourself this question. And this is Nick Cassero asking it, and I'm sure he is. It's D'Amico Ryan's asking it, and I'm sure he is. Are we really serious? Are we really serious about making a run right now? Because if you are, I think the decision is easy. I think the decision is really, really easy. Because you have the defense. You talked about kind of pushing your chips in this season with shorter-term contracts and such. You absolutely are shorthanded at wide receiver. We'll see about Nico Collins this week, but you're shorthanded for sure with Stephon Diggs. So the only way you need to get you can get better and be serious about winning is to bolster the offensive line and help CJ Stroud play better football, because he's not playing his best football. I don't even think, and we'll get into this later, but I don't even think it's necessarily all his fault. It's not because of the pressure that he's under.
Yeah, Joseph on the YouTube, and of course, remember, YouTube is available to you. Text line of the 5-Hour Energy text line, 713-572-4610 is available to you. Joseph on the YouTube said, I don't think we're at F them pick stage, but we're pretty close.
Yeah. And
for the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, that's tough, because like you look at the AFC and you can get up there. You could contend with them if your offensive line is there and able to play at a certain level, I think.
I'm just worried that if we do say F them picks and get some offensive linemen in, and maybe it's deeper than just bringing one or two people in.
Oh, it's definitely deeper than that. And that's
the one thing I'm worried about. So that's why I'm wondering if Nick Cassario is thinking maybe bringing somebody else that can hold it down in place of Kenyon Green just to get us there. Hopefully they can pick something up, because next year they're going to have to – I feel like they got to blow this up.
But they can't
blow that up right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
They got to get somebody else that can do something rather than Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to address this line now, but you also are going to have to address it in the offseason. So I think that's a great point. Like, that's a mitigating factor on going too far in on one particular or maybe multiple moves on the offensive line in the middle of the season. Matt Young of the Houston Chronicle put together kind of a short list of some of the guards that might be available.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking there, and we haven't even talked about any of the other positions where you might have to like
which get might be on the table
on the trade deadline. We might have to circle back around to that. But some of the names, Brandon Scherff continues to pop up. Jaguars, you mentioned him. One of the things is he plays right guard. And I saw someone on Twitter ask, like, is moving from right guard to left guard, like, how tenable is that? And I know offensive linemen have likened it to, like, wiping your keister with the other hand. apologies if that's too graphic. But, like, it's not impossible, but it just feels real weird.
Yeah.
The thing that I imagine, and I want to preface this and put a disclaimer, I am nobody's offensive lineman. I've never played offensive line. And if you had seen me play offensive line, you would have feared for the quarterback or running back behind me, right? But I imagine because guard is so much, you're more in a phone booth, right? Like, you don't have as much of the athleticism in the pass setting outwards in the same way that you do as a tackle. I imagine that it's a little bit more transferable. You're dealing a little bit more with power as opposed to like the speed and athleticism that you are on the tackle. So I imagine that it's a little bit easier to get that on the other side at guard as opposed to tackles, where you're really switching up a good amount, where your set is entirely different, back legs different, all of that. Not to say that, again, that it's going to be a perfectly easy move for guard, but I imagine that makes it a little easier for any of these guys that plays right guard that you might need to play.
And a guy like that, guard, you know, used to go into his right and his left, no matter, you know, from the right side or the left side, in terms of getting leverage, getting angles. I don't feel like it would be that big of a deal. I'm sure it's something you consider, but it's not something that would necessarily prevent you from doing anything.
All right, how about Wyatt Teller, who is a player for the Browns, turns 30 in 2 weeks, and one of the best two guards available, probably.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Wyatt Teller, we've heard Nate Davis.
Nate Davis has come up.
As another one. What I'm saying is I trust their judgment on this. What I'm worried.
You do, because that's an interesting question. Yeah. This is also the regime that has invested all of these draft capital and finances in this offensive line to get you to the production or the lack thereof that you're seeing right now.
But for sure, Laramie Tunsil got here before this regime. Tytus Howard was here before this regime.
You re-upped.
You did re-up. But they were also here, and I just feel like, you know, Kenyon Green was a bust. We know that. You know, Juice Scruggs, I feel like there's something there. I do trust their judgment in terms of judging talent. But I also feel like at this point, and I don't know how many different ways I can say this, like, you just cannot stay status quo. And I do think they know that. And so, you know, in terms of being able to coach them up, to make them fit and all that stuff with this squad, I mean, I feel like you almost have to. Yeah, I mean, not almost. You do have to.
Yeah, and to that line, I think that this text that comes in is a very good one from the 713. It's hard to judge a quarterback and an offensive coordinator when eight plays when you can't execute.
Absolutely.
Right, and I think that that's also a great point, is you're doing a level of a judgment and evaluation. C.J. Stroud, not as much. I think you know who he is for the most part. Mm-hmm. This offensive coordinator, I think that there's a level of evaluation happening.
Offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. It has to all be on the table at this point.
And you can't get good answers if that variable of offensive line is such a wild card, because it's so fundamental to what you're doing.
Yeah, and another text that I think just put it very succinctly, 8 sacks, guys. They gave up 8 sacks.
In a single solitary.
In one game.
Yeah.
You can't just stand pat. You have to make a move, and it has to be at the trade deadline. So, it's just an impossible. You know, again, what message are you sending? Are you really a contender or not? Do you fancy yourself as a contender or not? Because that's the first decision you have to make. You know, you have to decide, do we have a chance? And I get how bad the division is, but you're going to win the division. So you have to point to how do we face off, how do we match up against these other teams? Right now, not very well.
No, especially not, and we'll talk more about this weekend. You saw some contenders in the AFC, and you go,
Yeah,
you got to play a high level to be able to compete with some of them. And yeah, that's real concerning. Is it for you offensive line help, and then anything else, if nothing happens, you're fine? Because I think that there's probably one more position where I'd really want to see something happen.
Which one?
Cornerback.
That's it. Cornerback or safety.
That's true.
Cornerback or safety for me.
But the reason why I keep going to cornerback, and I know Seth, this is one of his pet cats, one of the things that he's kind of really paid attention to, which is just you are seeing offensive coordinators pick at Jalen Petrie and man in that slot situation when he has to cover a really good receiver in that place. Like he does a solid job when he gets to operate almost kind of like a linebacker, when he can play in a zone and come forward, when he can come forward and you know, hit. Those things he does incredibly well. You've seen the what's the right way to say it? What's the nice way of saying this? You've seen the lack. I didn't find the nicest way, but with all due respect, you've seen the lack that exists in man coverage, especially against higher level wide receiver play. And going back to training camp, that was visible, right? Like, this is not something that is new, but it feels more and more evident that you can't hide that because teams are seeking it out. And so if you give yourself, or you really need to give yourself, another option that you feel really confident in to play in that spot, and maybe they don't make a move. Maybe that's Jeff Okuda once he does get healthy. But how many of these players are we talking about once they do get healthy?
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, and look, they as good as the defense has been, they've given up a lot of passing touchdowns, and that's something that speaks directly to not just, you know, you're bringing pressure. The interior defensive line has played outstanding. The linebackers have more than made do, but you're giving up a lot of touchdown passes, some of the most in the league. That has to point to just one thing, and that's the secondary.
So, trade deadline eve tomorrow is the day, 3 p.m. Central time. You're right, Fig, 4 Eastern. As the deadline to get something done, and you've got to hope that they make moves in these ways. When it comes to offensive line help, it just feels like so much of what you want to do is dependent on the offensive line being at least better than this. Like, just the level that it has reached, it can't be this bad, and you get much of anything done in the ways that you're trying to contend with. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Reaction Monday. How about the rest of the weekend? Outside of once we got past Thursday, just being able to sit and watch, it felt like it was a pretty good weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's break that down next.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.